All right, as previously stated, we are so happy to have Sister Amber Martinez that's going to be sharing her testimony this morning. We do appreciate Sister Amber and her family. We appreciate their great love for God and desire to do something for the church and for the Lord. With that said, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Sister Amber now.
Hi, good morning, church. I love you so much, and it's an honor to do anything we can for the Lord and for the house of God and for our pastor and pastor's wife. I love Pastor and Sister Clark so much and am so grateful for them and all that they pour into our lives. And I'm very grateful for all of you, because where we're at, we couldn't have come to where we are without the love and support and protection of our pastor and pastor's wife and the church. And I was asked last night, and I thought to myself, wow, on such short notice, not any fault on my sister's part, but as I looked at her, what came over me was I have to say yes to honor what I was asked and to respect pastor and the church and the word of God. It says to be ready in season and out of season. I started to look to myself at my shortcomings, and as quickly as the word was spoken through Brother Mantooth, began to think the opposite of what he instructed us to do, and to just shout over our shortcomings and our frailties, and just walk in victory and obedience to the word. And so I promptly corrected myself, and just bear with me. I'm a little nervous, and this is what is on my heart. Unfortunately, the details are still unfolding, and out of respect for my kids, I don't feel it's time to get into detail, but to reveal that we're in a trial, and we've been in one for quite some time. And in prayer over this week, God has spoken to my heart, and he has spoken, your children are safe, and I have them. I am working on you. The enemy does not have them. I have them, and they are saved. And this morning in prayer, I wanted to share the points that I lifted up to the Lord, and I asked him to anoint me to drink this cup and to not let this pass from me. Allow me to know you in the suffering, to come as close as I possibly can to know you through all this in your suffering. Though weeping may last for a night, joy comes in the morning. Lord, cause me to be able to sing songs in the night, in the trial, to have victory. Let me not suffer for suffering's sake that gives into self-pity and pride, but let me fix and focus on the joy that is set before the suffering. The joy is God's promised end of the matter or situation, or the final end. And I wanted to share, we go through trials for our maturity and the blessings of God's promises being fulfilled in our lives and the promise of eternal life. Jesus gives us a hope and an expected end. I've been enduring a personal trial for quite some time. And just when I thought my kids and I were coming out, well, we came into another 2 years on top of the 5 years. If the word hadn't been established in my heart and deep-rooted to be the controlling force in times when I just wanted to give up in all sense of the word of God was the sustaining force along with the deep love for God. You see, through dwelling in the word for hours on end every day for years, I fell in love with Jesus. So the power of the word and the love of Jesus will keep you. Jeremiah 29 talks about captivity. Captivity is not controlled by who or what has brought you into captivity. In Jeremiah, God himself caused Israel to be in exile, into captivity. And it says, thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, 29, starting with verse 4, to all the captives whom I have caused to be carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build yourself houses and dwell in them. Plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not be diminished. We are to multiply in these times. We are to multiply in our personal trials. We are to multiply as a church. We are to build. We are to plant. We are to increase. And I see that the Lord is doing that as we are obedient in these times with our eyes fixed on eternal and the promises of God and the instruction of God. And so we are to multiply in captivity. We are to and seek and require for peace. I'm reading out of the Amplified. And the welfare of the city to which I have caused you to be carried away captive, to be interceding for the surrounding cities, and to be interceding for Ontario. And pray to the Lord for it. For in the welfare you will have, in the welfare you will have, welfare. You will have peace. We will have peace, church. We have peace in these times. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your false prophets and your diviners who are in the midst deceive you. Pay no attention and attach no significance to your dreams, which you dream, or to theirs. We are not to focus on outside voices. We are not to listen to what's been going on, the conspiracy theories and those things alike, as we have been forewarned and encouraged not to. But through the word, God is saying also, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and keep my good promise. There he is keeping his promise as we focus and fix ourselves on him and his cause, causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you a hope and a final outcome. Then you will call on me, and I will come and pray to me, and I will hear you and heed you. Then you will seek me and inquire for and require, and find me when you search me with all your heart. There are things in our heart that we might not know, but as we open our heart to God, he wants all of us. He's jealous for us. And especially in these times, we have to be consecrated to God and to our pastor and pastor's wife and to one another. God will use captivity or trials to bring out his perfection and the perfect will for our lives. If we will respond to it, we need to focus on the one who is in control, not just in times of blessing, but also in times of trial. But God, that's what we need to focus on. Just like in Jeremiah, will send his word to his people. We must consecrate ourselves to God and to our pastors' wives, also to one another, and we will hear what God is saying to us as a church and individuals. We must do this daily, or we can listen to voices, whether it be our own, driven by our feelings and emotions, or outside influences. In John 10:27, it says, the sheep that are my own hear and listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never lose it or perish throughout the ages. And no one else is able to snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater and mightier than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And when Jesus said this, this is when he aroused, and they said that he is being blasphemous because they said he's a mere man and you make yourself out to be God. We serve the one true and mighty God. Jeremiah 38 talks about the promises of God coming to pass. For it will come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break the oppressor's yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bonds, and strangers will no more make slaves of the people of Israel, but they will serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. Therefore, fear not, O my servant Jacob, says the Lord, nor be dismayed or cast down, O Israel. For behold, I will save you out of a distant land of exile, and your posterity from the land of their captivity. When I read that, I thought back to the word that the Lord gave me, that our posterity means all future generations, that as we commit our children to the Lord, God has them. As we humble ourselves and we seek him and we do what's right and we keep our right before God, before our pastor and pastor's wife, before one another, God will bring our children in from near and far off. Jacob will return, will be quiet and at ease, and none will make him afraid or cause him to be terrorized or to tremble. For I am with you, says the Lord, to save you, for I will make a full and a complete end. There he is promising again that expected end, that complete end, that finished end, the good work he will finish. He finished it on the cross. It's not that we're waiting for him to finish. He wants us to fix and receive the truth and the fact of the matter that it is finished. And we are to walk in the promises. As I'm speaking these things, it's not that I've attained all them. It's not at all. Just like Apostle Paul said, it's not that I've attained it. But yet, Apostle Paul spoke a truth that was beyond his experience. And just because we haven't experienced the truth in the fullness and in its entirety does not mean that it's nullified. It means that we are to walk in it. We are to receive it as it is and walk in faith. It says in Isaiah 43:19, for us to forget the former things, to stop going back and weeping and mourning over what was. But the Lord has taken that foundation, and he, which was good. It's not that it wasn't good times. It wasn't that it wasn't established by the Lord. It's just that we are not to go backwards. We are to go forward. And he's doing a new thing. He's fulfilling his work. He's bringing it to a complete end according to his promises. And it says in Haggai 10:9, and this is for us personally, for our personal situations, whatever they may be. Everyone has a different situation, circumstance, trial that has a blessing attached to it, has a promise to be fulfilled attached to it. And so if that promise is not fulfilled in it yet, you hold on. We are to hold on because God is a finishing God. What it is now is not what it's going to be. As we remain in Jesus and we put our faith and hope and trust in his trusted word, it's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to completion. That which he's promised, he's already given. And it says in Haggai 2:9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. In that, he talks about which convicted my heart, in these times where we've lost jobs or job work is scarce, our hours might have got cut, but the finances are not coming in as much as it should. And in this particular trial of an uncertainty, if we look at the trial, it can be uncertain. But if we look to God's word, it is forever certain. So we can operate out of fear, and we can begin to hoard unto ourselves. And he talks about you build your own personal house, but my house you've neglected. And I can share for me personally, I know what it's like to be without, and I know what it's like to have abundance in both senses of the word. In not having God eternal internally in me and being in a famine spiritually, and also physically in the world materialistically, a fun fact that I will share and maybe at one time get into it. I lived for a good length of time in a homeless shelter over 20 years ago. And there are things that I haven't had the opportunity to share, but that's one thing. And so as it goes along with, going without and knowing what it's like to go without, but I also know what it's like to have abundance and back and forth, but godly contentment is great gain. And I have found my peace in the Lord. And so I don't hold on to riches and things like that. There's a time where I had an abundance, and instead of putting it in a 401k or anything like that, the Lord spoke to my heart about investing in my kids, investing in my son spiritually through the giving financially. And the word going forth, not just my son, not for personal reasons, please don't misunderstand that, but we might not be able to go out and evangelize, but we have evangelists that are anointed and appointed by God, even unto death. And I think brothers are right now, as I said that, that will sacrifice and stay with the church and the word, true to the word of God and their calling for the sake of the kingdom and the souls that still need to be saved. And so right now, the finances aren't coming in like they were. And so it's not that we might not have much, but whatever we have, even a little mite, even a penny, that if we give it, and God knows when we give it out of sacrifice, through obedience to that, not just sacrifice, because that's not our glory, but it's his, but out of obedience saying, God, I know and I trust that you are the same when I have it, and you are the same when I don't, and the blessings don't change. You are not a God that changes. And so we are not to neglect the house of God, especially in these times. Rather, we are to pour into the house of God and bring all that we can, whether it be finances, our prayers, our fasting, our own two hands to labor on the ground, to work as the day is approaching. And so that's just something that he has put on my heart and convicted me that our trust is in him. It's not in the abundance that we have. It's in the abundance that he has. And we need to trust him and still bring, as we did before, even more so as we see the day approaching. And so that's what the Lord put on my heart. And to know that he's in control. He brought us in. The one who brought us in or allowed us to come in is the very one who's with us in it. It says in Song of Songs, out of the wilderness, here she comes leaning on her beloved. We are the church. And no one is going to snatch us out of his hand. And no one's going to snatch us out of pastor's hand. He seeks for us daily. And we're warned within, and he lets no wolves come to take us away. And if we find ourselves astray, pastor reaches us in the spirit as well as leaders and us with one another. And the love that we have one for another is overwhelming. And it's the power that I know that those who visit get overcome with, and the presence of God. And so we need to know in Ephesians 4:8, we need to get our eyes off the circumstance, but on the word, because he's leading us. He's leading us in, he's leading us out, and he's leading us into the promises and the promised land. And I want to thank everybody for all their love, support, and prayers that I could never pay back. And all the love, support, and prayers that are going on in our lives today, personally, I'm forever grateful, and I'm forever honored and proud to be under Pastor and Sister Clark and to be with my brothers and sisters in the Lord at Truth Church. And I apologize if I went over, and that's all I have, Brother Vic.
Thank you, Sister Amber. No, that was tremendous this morning, and I just want to thank you for opening up with all of your personal details that you mentioned this morning. Again, we've learned that there is power in releasing certain things and becoming vulnerable with our brothers and sisters. But like Sister Amber said, the Lord is in control, and he does have our children in his hands. And he is the author and the finisher of our faith. And one scripture that Sister Amber mentioned, I want to just read an excerpt from it, that the Lord wants us to multiply in captivity and do not be diminished. So even in this time that we've been in, the Lord still wants us to be fruitful and to multiply. Thank God for that. Why don't we just thank God right now for what we heard this morning and the great encouragement that Sister Amber gave us this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for our sister's voice, Lord God. We thank you for keeping your hand upon her, her children, her family, Lord God, and for guiding her and for guiding the rest of us to navigate through this time that we've been in, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord God, to continue to strengthen Sister Amber and her children. In the name of Jesus, we ask and pray. And with that said, church, we want to remind everybody about our Bible study devotion tonight at 7:15 p.m. Be back at this same phone number at 7:15 to listen to that devotion tonight. Praise God. Have a great day in Jesus' name. Amen.